So you go through the trouble of writing down your announcements so that you don't forget one, and then you forget one. I don't know how that happens, but I missed an announcement, so this doesn't count as sermon time. This counts as announcement time. We're going backwards. Several times this week, I got a phone call or text message or whatever from, or email from somebody saying, hey, do I reach out to you for this or Pastor Randy for this? And truthfully, the answer is I don't know yet. But if you have a need, try me first. And if I can't get it done, then we'll get Pastor Randy involved. Like I know, for example, right now I can't set the alarm from my phone, and he can do that. We worked on it this week, and we couldn't get it. In fact, maybe you could help us because you're the one that set that up, right? Yeah. Anyway, he said that you did. That was just a blank stare coming right back at me. Anyway, I can't do that. But, like, you know, if you need something here or whatever, like, try me first. And if I can't do it, then we'll get Pastor Randy to help us. I think, Fred, you want to put up my – there you go. So there's my phone number. If you need it, you can jot it down or whatever. Or you can get it from any number of folks that already have it. So that's my info. So if you need something, try me, and we'll see. Okay. Now we're going back to – back to our sermon. So now you can start counting this as official sermon time. All right. So you'll find out from me that I tend to preach in series. And so you take one topic and then you break it out over several weeks to really like explore it, really to dive into it. And so initially, this sermon series we were going to be starting today was going to be the ABCs of Christianity. We're just going to start at the beginning and just work our way through the whole thing. And I wrote the first sermon for this maybe a month ago now, and it changed the whole shape of what this thing is going to look like. Because, you know, obviously, if you're talking about the ABCs of our salvation, the first thing is our salvation. That's the first thing we talk about. And so when I started really looking at this topic, the name of the sermon was going to be we marvel at our salvation, but now the whole series is going to be we marvel at our salvation because it is so multifaceted. Now, I was meant to have an illustration for you this morning. I was going to have one of Shannon's chocolate chip cookies, and I was going to show it to you and show you how beautiful it is from every angle that you look at it, but they ate my illustration. So it's all gone. You know, Shannon was going to cook something fresh this morning, but I suspect my Levi and Silas got a hold of my illustration, and as a result, I don't have one. So you'll have to imagine, we'll change the illustration then to a diamond, because it's easier to imagine a beautiful diamond than necessarily a cookie. So anyway. So if you would, imagine in your mind a diamond. Now, apparently the biggest diamond in the world is roughly the size of a softball. That's big. But what's crazy about that is no matter what angle you look at it from, if you held it up, you know, and you turn it, you look at it, if from every angle you look at it from, it's still this beautiful, beautiful thing. And that is our salvation. No matter what angle you look at it from, it's still this beautiful, beautiful thing. So if you look at it from the pits of despair, it's still this beautiful thing. If you look at it from the top of the mountain where everything is going great, it's still this beautiful thing. If you look at it from the depths of your addiction, it's still this beautiful thing. If you look at it from no matter what's going from the good times, from the horrible times, from the just like normal times, anytime you look at our salvation, it's still this beautiful thing. And it is so multifaceted. There are so many. Oh, look at that. That's a rough cut. Yeah. Look at Fred go, man. I didn't even tell him to do that. That's awesome. So anyway, if you look at it from whatever direction you look at it from, it's still beautiful, and it comes with so many awesome benefits, right? You know, when you're looking for a new job and you're like, okay, so the pay is this, but what are the benefits? What's the side stuff, the insurances, the 401k and all that stuff? And let me tell you that our salvation has so many benefits. It's unbelievable the amount of, it's not just like a free ticket to heaven. It's not just that. It's so much more than that. Did you know that you can actually have an abundant life here on earth because of your salvation? It's not just you get your ticket punched for heaven. I'm going to heaven. It's going to be awesome. And one day I'm going to rock out in heaven with Jesus. It's not just that. But the Bible tells us that we can have a full and abundant life here because of the greatness of our salvation. And so that's what we're going to talk about over the next several weeks. We may get into October with this thing, but because of how big it really is, how many awesome benefits it really is. But the first thing I want to show you is found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I made it easier for me to flip and find Bible passages. You know, I got preacher buddies that are like, man, you should really just switch to an iPad. Then you can, but I don't want to wag an iPad at you. And that's no fun. Like, I want to, if I'm going to wag something, let's wag the Word of God, right? And I hate to admit this, but I'm going to have to buy me a bigger letters, because this is, I'm getting there. So I'm going to have to buy me a bigger one. Anyway, all right, in the beginning, so Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. The darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Here's the thing that you need to know first, okay? This may be the most important thing I ever teach you right here. God comes first. God came first. It's not about you. God was here before you. He'll be here after you. God comes first. You are not the point. You're not the reason why this was created. It was not for your glory. Your effort, it was not for you. You are not the center of this thing. You are not the point. Let's look at this. Let's look at this next scripture in Romans. Chapter 5, verse 8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. But God showed his love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. That means Jesus came first. God came first. You were still yucky and broken and lost and in your sin you were still lost. You were still broken, and Jesus came then. He didn't come for you once you got your stuff all together. He didn't come because your life was perfect and because you were doing it just right and your behavior was good. And he didn't come because you were this perfect thing. He came in spite of that. He came because you needed him. So everything else comes after God. Everything else comes after God. You have nothing in your life that didn't come from the Lord. Well, I worked for it. With whose energy? Well, I slaved away for, I gave my time. Whose time? Well, my arms and my back are strong, and that's what, whose back and whose arms? Do you have arms without God? Do you have fingers without God? Do you have a back without God? Do you have a life? Do you have anything without God? God comes first. Everything is as a result of him. You have nothing on your own. Nothing. And you're not the point. I am not the point. And that's frustrating because I want to be the point. I want to get home and like everybody, you know, start caring about what I want. Everybody's like, okay, Dad, what do you want for supper? What do you want to watch on TV? What can we do to serve you? I want to be the point, but I'm not the point. I'm not the center. And you're not either. Nothing comes before God because God came first. God comes first. And so now as we get into the benefits of our salvation, the thing you need to recognize is that God comes first in all of these benefits. Okay? It's not... Well, we'll get into it. Okay. The first of the benefits, and these are by no means in any particular like order, and it's certainly not an exhaustive list of benefits that come with knowing Jesus, but it's just some of them. All right, so Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Do you see that? Everything you need is available inside your salvation. But what comes first? God comes first. He'll give you everything you need. Well, I need a car. Okay, in America today, I would agree, you need a car. Do you need a brand new Ford? Probably not, because then you'd just be in the shop all the time. Okay, that was a little jab at your vehicle. And Gene was supposed to be in here, and I was going to make fun of his Ford, but he's not in here this morning to hear me make fun of his Ford. Anyway, do you have to have the nicest car? No. No, but do you need one? Yeah, sure you do. God will meet that need. Do you need a job? Sure you do. God can meet that need. Everything you need is found in your salvation. Everything you need is found there, but seek first the kingdom of God because God comes first. All right, let's look at the next one. Philippians chapter 4. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So we don't have to worry. Man, if there's a place on earth that is anxious, it's got to be America. And like, we are this anxious people, tied up in knots always about, you know, who's got what and you know, what can I get and what do my neighbors think about me and what do my friends have and what does the guy across the street have? And we stay so tied up in knots about all this stuff about, you know, well, my kid wants to play soccer and so on and so forth. But God is a great knot untier. He can release all of that. He can give you peace. Peace that that is not understandable. Peace that comes even in times you shouldn't have peace. Well, but my car just broke down, or my house just caught on fire, or my husband left me, or my wife cheated on me, or whatever it is. Like, even in a time like that, you can still have peace because it's available in your salvation when you put him first, because God comes first. You see that? This one comes with a caveat. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God. See, God comes first. Pray about everything. God comes first. And then the peace comes after. God comes first. Let's see. Let's look for the next one. James chapter 1, verse 5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. If you need wisdom, then just ask God for it. Like, let's say, for example, that you're taking over head pastor of a church and you need wisdom on how to handle that stuff. Then ask God for it. And he doesn't get mad about you asking. Let's say you need wisdom for whatever, something, how to deal with your obnoxious boss, or how to deal with your spouse, how to deal with your kids, or whatever. Then you ask the Lord for it, and he gives you wisdom. But it comes with God comes first. See, if you need wisdom, ask God, and he will give it to you. but have faith. See, all these things, they come with this caveat that God comes first. When you're putting God first, then you get these benefits. All of the so far we've got all the things we need. We've got peace, we've got wisdom when we put God first. And God, man, God is great at giving wisdom. He really is. I mean, my kids can be tough sometimes. I mean, you know, like you guys know, your parents, a lot of your parents, you know, kids are hard. And if you need wisdom, then ask him. And he'll teach you how to discipline. He'll teach you how to, you know, and you just got to trust that the Lord is talking to you and doing your best. Okay, all that comes first when, or that all comes when you put God first. So now, the next one. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Shame is such a powerful, powerful tool for the enemy. Shame is such a big thing. It traps us underneath of our sin, and it makes us feel like we're not worthy. We're not worthy for our spouse. We're not worthy for our friends. We're not. Shame is such this powerful thing that just crushes us, right? But we don't have to live in shame anymore because God comes first. For those who belong to Christ Jesus, those who belong to Christ Jesus, those are the ones who don't have shame anymore. And so sometimes, like, sometimes I get caught up in sin. You know, I have a whole day of bad attitude or a whole day of selfishness or whatever it is, or a huge moment of selfishness in my life. And then I feel so terrible for it. I don't want to go to God. I don't want to because I feel shame. You guys, I'm not the only one. I'm not the only sinner in this building, right? And so I feel shame. And so I feel like, oh, man, I don't even want to pray right now because I feel so dirty or I feel so yucky or whatever it is. And yet God wants to see me coming. He wants to see me turn around, right? And sometimes you just have to force yourself to think that way. Okay, God, I know that I've been yucky. I know that I have done some terrible things. I know I've been selfish. I know I've been whatever. God, here I come, broken before you. And we know there's no condemnation for us. And so he wants to see us coming, just like the prodigal son. He had this whole speech memorized about how he's, and I'll talk about that someday too, about how when he's going to back to his dad, he's got his whole speech memorized, and he lays out a speech in front of his dad, and his dad just ignores him completely and says, come on and let's do the thing. Let's do the party. His dad was excited to see him coming. That's how our God is. There's no condemnation for you, even though you're a sinner. If God expected us to be perfect, he would give us, we would all be Jesus. Like, we can't, that's just not how, what we're expected to do. And so there's no shame. You don't have to live under that shame. You have to deal with the consequences of your sin. You spend a whole day being selfish and people don't like you, right? But you don't have to feel shame because God still loves you. All right. Where am I? Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Contentment. Man, we stay tied up and want more. Like our whole society, that's what it does to us. Like every billboard, every commercial, every, you know, thing you see as you scroll along or whatever, it's all designed to make you want more. Oh, I don't have a phone stand like that. I need a phone stand like that. Oh, I don't have a cool car like that. I need a cool car like that. That drink, I need that drink. I'm thirsty. Look at that drink. Oh, that pizza, whatever it is. Our whole society is designed. I mean, people, there are whole corporations. Their only job is just to buy information about you so they can advertise to you. I don't know if you ever heard the phrase, but if it's free, then you are the product, right? So Facebook is free because they're selling who you are to Coca-Cola, to Little Caesars, to Ford, to whatever, so that they can sell you more stuff. That's why Facebook is free, because you're the product that they're selling, right? Okay, that's a soapbox. All right. Anyway, we can learn how to be content. We can learn how to be content. Not, I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength, because God comes first. God came first, and he expects to come first. It's all about him. All right, so we got, what benefits do we have? We have everything that we need. We have peace. We have wisdom. We have no shame, no condemnation. We have contentment. Let's see, what's next? Looks like this one. We have the Word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. We have the Bible. What a fantastic thing this is. What a fantastic thing this is. This is, I know you guys have heard me say this before, this is our only concrete thing that we have from God. Right? It reads the same no matter what. Are you emotional? It reads the same. Are you in sin? It reads the same. Are you feeling particularly holy? It reads the same. Are you distraught over something that's just happened? It reads the same. These words are the same regardless of what you're going through. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. Because we can be deceived by our emotions. We can be deceived by our mind. I mean, even the Bible tells us that the devil masquerades as an angel of light. We can be deceived by all of these things. Our friends and our Christian friends and our the Christians we have around us, they fail us. They can deceive us. We can be tricked by that. But this is always the same. This reads the same whether or not you're trying to justify some sin in your life, like, I don't know, whatever, gossip or like selfishness with your money or whatever. Like, this reads the same no matter what you're going through. And so you can pop it open and be like, oh, well, you know, I feel like I should be allowed to do this. And the Bible's like, nope. And it reads the same. It reads the same no matter what you're going through. And what a gift. What a gift that is. Let's look at James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. The earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and produces wonderful results. One of the benefits of our salvation is the ability to pray. And when you pair that God is hearing us, God is, you know, that we're doing things. We also, when we pair that with Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. So, you take, there's no condemnation for us. There's no shame for us. You take that God, that our prayers avail much. Our prayers are very powerful. And you take that and you pair it with, we can boldly come to the throne because Jesus became sin for us. Then that gives us no excuse not to get whatever we need from the Holy Spirit. Right? Those three scriptures right there put it together for us in such a way that we understand we can go to God anytime with anything. How wonderful is that news? This is why it's called the good news, because it's good news. Here God is, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and you're allowed to boldly come to his throne. Boldly come to his throne. But even when I'm selfish, yeah. Even when I'm stuck in my addiction, yeah. Even when my life is falling apart, yeah. Boldly come to the throne. And you can stand there boldly because of Jesus. Not because your righteousness, because your righteousness is doo-doo. I can't believe I said doo-doo on my first Sunday. Your righteousness is no good, but God's is good. Jesus' righteousness is, and so you get to go to God's throne room because of who Jesus was and because of what Jesus did. You get to go boldly, and you can say, I'm here because Jesus did a thing for me. These are the benefits of our salvation. All right, let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So, like, this is just sort of a wrap-up of some of the stuff that is available to us in our salvation: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Hey, who doesn't need more love, right? Who doesn't need more patience? Who doesn't need more joy? Right? All of that stuff is available. It's all a part of your salvation. It's all the benefits of your salvation when God comes first. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. The Holy Spirit produces the fruit. We don't produce anything. God comes first, then he produces this stuff. So, well, do I have to be perfect to get these things? No. No, that's the whole point. The Holy Spirit produces this stuff when you go to God first. You can't create any of this of yourself. Left to your own devices, then we're terrible people. But when the Holy Spirit starts working in us, that's when we turn into love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And is it easy? No, it's not easy. It's not easy. I'm not sitting here saying any of this stuff is easy. I'm just saying it's all available. It's all possible. It's all there for you. And it takes a lifetime of Christianity to start working some of these things out. Look, I am not the example of, well, any of this. I'm not the example. And I've been loving Jesus since I was 10, and I'm 46. So, you know, of course, I haven't been, you know, I took some years off from loving Jesus, as some of us do. But anyway, now I'm not the example of any, and some of these are, like, nobody says I'm a kind person. Nobody says that. Anyway, but this is not about me. The whole point is God creates this stuff in you as you put him first, because God comes first. Now look, here's the final one. And this one is the only one. This is the only one that doesn't come with a caveat. This is the only one that's available to you no matter what. And it's the best one. For I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from the love, from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers in hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the only one that's for free. This is the only one that doesn't come with a caveat. This is the only one right here. You get God's love always, forever. Even when you're the worst of the worst. The Charles Mansons and the Hitlers and all of that. And I know it's hard for us to imagine that God would love those people. But God loves, you're just as bad. So you didn't kill a bunch of people. You're still separated from God in the same way that these people were. But God's love was available to them. It's available to you. How wonderful is our salvation that this is part of it. Never be separated from the love of God. Never. Because God came first. He came at us with love. He came at us with love. So then the question comes, what are we going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You've got all these benefits. You've got all this salvation. All this stuff tied in here. What are you going to do about it? You could ignore it, go on about your life, thinking that you got it. You're strong enough to handle. You don't need God for these things. You could do that. It wouldn't be a full and abundant life. You could go on without salvation altogether, and then it gets really sticky when you die. Because someday we'll recognize that God was really first. And you didn't put him first. You didn't put him at all. And then you wind up, it's a bad future for you. Hell is going to be an ugly, ugly place. So what are you going to do about it? So we're going to sing a song. Oh, Rebecca, you want to? And I'm going to give you the chance to respond to this. And maybe you're out there this morning, and maybe you're like, I've never given my life to God. I've never given my life in salvation. And you're out there, and you can feel the Holy Spirit working in you. You're like, you got that nervousness in you because you know God is talking to you. If that's you this morning, if you're in here and that's you, then let me please encourage you. Don't ignore that feeling. That is the Lord dealing with you. It's time to give up, to stop running. And, you know, and like I said earlier, this salvation stuff, it's free, but it ain't easy. Like, it's hard work. Turning into love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's hard work. These things, given your anxieties to the Lord. It's hard work boldly coming to the throne, but it's worth it. Amen. And so maybe you're out there and you're like, it's time for me to stop running. We're going to sing a song, and I'm going to invite you to come up here, and you can talk to me, or if you don't like me, then you can talk to somebody else in the room that you trust. That's fine. I don't care. I'm not here for the glory because this is not about me. Or maybe you're in the room and you're like, you know what, I've been saved for a long time, but I'm not taking advantage of any of these benefits. It's time for me to sign up. Then this altar is open. In fact, this altar is always open. If I'm preaching and you want to come and pray at the altar, come on. I won't bother you. You want to come up here and pray during worship time in the morning, you know, like before this, come on. It doesn't matter. The altar is always open. You come and you pray. Can I do that in my seat? You sure can. Yeah. Because it's a heart issue. But I would just encourage you, I think it shows the Lord something when you're willing to get out of your chair. So I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God will give you the courage. And then you just, if you want it, you just come on up. If you want to sit in your seat, then you sit there and sing. But give this morning, let's give God everything. Because you got nothing. You got nothing that he didn't give you. Nothing. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. And you did come first. And we thank you for that. God, it's wonderful. You're glorious, Lord. You created this earth in the fullness of it just so we could have fun and hang out and whatever, Father, we praise you that you created all of this, that you gave us breath in our lungs, God, that you gave us arms and legs and feet to run and play and whatever, Father. We thank you that you gave us friends and church members and family to enjoy, God. God, you gave us all this. All of this is yours. All of it is yours. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning, we want to give it back to you. And so I pray for courage for those in this room who don't know you. God, to decide today is the day and to stop fighting and to come and deal with you. And for those of us in the room who are Christians who are just not taking advantage, God, we're just not putting you first. We're not giving you everything. Lord, I pray that you would give us courage to come and just lay all that before you and say, Lord, I'm done fighting and I just want to be your guy. I just want to be your gal. I just want to give it over to you. God, because there's too many benefits just to let slide. You're our joy and you're our hope. You're everything. And so it's in your name that we pray and sing this song. Amen.